need to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, and it never ends. And our pastor here is getting quite expert with the Pastor Keith with my computer, and it's gone from this much on Sunday to this much, and then now it's this much up here. So tomorrow night, who knows? I might have to stand back there somewhere. Anyway, I'd like us to read a little scripture here to begin. And that will be in Psalm 78. In Psalm 78. And I think we'll just read the first 8 verses of Psalm 78. If you can stand, why, let's stand, if you're able, while we read God's Word. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Thank you again, Father, that we're here, and thank you for your word. Thank you for so carefully and meticulously preserving it for us down through the ages. And we thank you for the sure word of prophecy that we looked at the other night. But we also thank you for the reminders you give us that we are to pass down to the next generation and the next generation your commandments, your laws, your statutes, the great works that you have done, the wonders of your works. And so I pray that you will encourage all of us to be doing that very thing and encourage our hearts tonight as we look at some things that you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. This one really does apply to all of us, but I'm calling it teaching your children to love Jesus because we are seeing some interesting things in the church. 3 John 4, I have no greater love or joy than what? Than to hear that my children walk in truth. What greater joy could a parent have than to see their children walking in truth? I think there is one. I don't think so. By the way, I did want to say one more thing back here. We sang those songs about love, and I thought, well, you know what? How do we know if we love the Lord Jesus? So you might again want to turn to John chapter 14. And John chapter 14 says in verse 15, John 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, so if I love the Lord Jesus, I can prove that by keeping his commandments. Look what he says over in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So you say, well, do I really love the Lord Jesus? Well, am I obeying his commandments? He says if we obey his commandments, that's the evidence that we love him. And if we love him, we will obey his commandments. So how are we doing? How are we doing? Well, we are seeing Christian families falling apart all over everywhere. And we are seeing even some of the most apparently dedicated Christian families. We had one pastor call us up. My daughter left in the night sometime. So we don't know where she went. We don't know what happened. Never heard another thing for 3 years. A pastor. We've had others. My son said he's getting out of here. He just left. And what is going on? Well, of course, there's a lot of unresolved conflict that we have in our homes, and we're trying to work on that. We're trying to work on a little booklet about resolving conflict in the house, in the home, in the church, because we're seeing everywhere we go, it's just conflict. Well, why? Well, I think we're not keeping Jesus as the hub. We're not keeping Jesus as the central, essential ingredient of what we're doing as God's children. Now, we have all these good things that we get involved in. It might even be scripture memory, or we've got some things listed on here, ministry, music. But if we don't have Jesus as the central hub, it doesn't work right. Many times we'll get one of those spokes and put it in as the hub, and then it doesn't work right. So the focus many times will end up on standards or principles more than on Jesus' character, which is loving others with his love. That should be our emphasis, teaching our children to obey more than to love. Sometimes removes Jesus as the center. We need to teach them to obey, but we need to teach them the important thing is to love the Lord Jesus. Teaching standards and principles in place of or with greater emphasis than that of developing a personal, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus. Inevitably, the spoke begins to take the center place instead of Jesus. So the goal is to teach our children a proper balance between knowing and loving the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, their Lord, their friend, but at the same time, presenting the principles found in His Word as the building blocks to a life that glorifies God. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." It does. So a child's character can be damaged when the focus of worship is misplaced, even though it might be a good place, but it's not the place. We're commanded to worship the God of the Bible, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our Trinitarian God, and no other. We're not to worship music, drama, sports. How do we know what we really worship? Well, it's the same as an idol. It's whatever we're sacrificing our time, our talents, and our treasures for. So what are you sacrificing your time, your talents, and your treasures for? Our worship can be misplaced when even the Bible and its values become the object of our worship, other than Jesus himself. Now that's where we learn about him, through the Bible, but he wants us to worship him. So we can unintentionally replace the Lord Jesus as the hub. And what are the evidences of that? Well, we'll just focus on certain standards or certain principles or certain values instead of focusing on the Lord Jesus. So what do we want to do? Well, we want to make sure all of our children know they're individually responsible for their salvation. It's not something that they just have because they're raised in a Christian home or because they do homeschool or because they memorize books of the Bible. That is not what makes a person a Christian. It's putting our faith and trust in the Lord. And when we are Spirit-filled, there's a softness toward the Lord and a sensitivity from parents so that we can accurately evaluate where our children are spiritually. So how can we as parents help our children avoid the pitfalls of bad attitudes and potential rebellion? Well, first, we as parents need to realize children don't rebel against rules for the most part, but they rebel against a lack of relationship with the rule giver or the rule enforcer or the rule maker. For the most part, there's always exceptions, but for the most part, children don't rebel against rules. They love rules. That's why they love sports, because sports are every single thing has a rule to guide it, and that's where we're all most comfortable. God made us to be a creature who is built to conform to rules, his rules that he gives us in here. Things to do, things not to do. And that's why we like sports, because we like rules. We're built that way. We just don't like God's rules a lot of times. All right, now how can we as parents help our children avoid these pitfalls? Well, we have to ask ourselves some questions first. How can I make God real to my children? How are you working on that? Your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your brothers, your sisters, How are you making God real to them? What intentional pursuits are you involved in to make God real? Because he wasn't real to me. Raised in an independent Baptist home, he was not real to me. How can I help my children make Jesus their best friend and confidant? They love the Lord Jesus. How can I live out the biblical worldview in the trials and tests of life so they can see that God and his word truly do hold the answers to all of life's situations? By the way, living out the biblical worldview, I was going to mention one thing last night I forgot. And that is one particular video game, which is the most popular game, we're told, among Christians, which is called Minecraft. How many have heard of Minecraft? Oh, almost everybody. It's been advertised as one of the best games for Christian young people on one of the most famous family radio programs in the United States. Minecraft wasn't, by the way, Minecraft, according to the men that wrote it, was not written for kids. It was written for adults. And Minecraft is not a simple game. It puts you into an altered state of consciousness. That's why your kids can be playing Minecraft and mom can say, "Hey, Johnny, take the garbage out." Johnny doesn't hear a thing. "Johnny, take the garbage out." Doesn't hear a thing. You got to go and thump him one. "Johnny." Why? Because he's in an altered state of consciousness. It's a state of hyper-concentration. It's a form of hypnosis. Okay? And how do I know that Minecraft does that? Well, because I've read their final words. You can finish the game, and then up comes these final words. And if you want to read what those words are, you can go to Minecraft Endgame Script. Or Minecraft, it's not mind, it's M-I-N-E, Minecraft Endgame Poem. You can go to any of those. And you can read it. And what it's doing is, it's teaching some aspects of Hinduism. You are the universe. You are love. It is bringing them out of an altered state of consciousness. I used to lecture on medical hypnosis. I repented of that because it puts someone in an altered state of consciousness. And God says we're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You cannot do that in an altered state of consciousness. So I repented of that. That's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And so Minecraft is hypnotizing, putting into a trance, putting into an altered state of consciousness the gamers. They don't realize it, but if you read the end game script, it's telling them, "Oh, now you can feel your hands. You can feel yourself breathing. Now you can see your environment again." And the final words are, "Wake up." It's exactly what you do to bring someone out of a hypnotic state. Are beginning to flip some switches in gamers' brains that they now think can't be flipped back. And the switches are getting flipped in a way that when they're doing their gaming, they can make quick decisions. Bang, bang, bang. Just really quick, get them into reality. And all of a sudden, they can't make decisions. And so now some medical schools, we know for sure, in their admissions programs are asking some of their admissions questions, "Are you a gamer? How many hours a day or a week have you spent gaming?" And they're rejecting them for medical school. Because they can't make a quick decision. You got a life and death situation in reality, and they can't make the decision because these switches are getting flipped. So let's be careful what we are doing. Do you know what the average age of the gamer is in the United States of America? I just looked it up. 32 years old. That's the average age. You know what that means? There are a lot of dads go home from work and play video games. That's what that means. There are a lot of moms playing Candy Crunch or whatever it is. That's a different subject, okay. But I just wanted to give you a warning. I mean, what are we talking about here? We're talking about letting the Lord Jesus live the biblical worldview out through us. We can't do that when we're hindering him. And this is one way to hinder him, is to intentionally involve ourselves in things that may very well be weakening our ability to do even other things, let alone exhibit him. So, contrary to anticipating today's popular norm that once children are going to rebel, once they hit their teen years, by God's grace, we parents need to take preventative steps. Now, if the average gamer is 32 years old, that means there are a lot of men with families who have never grown up. They're still back there in middle school, emotionally. Men, it's time we grow up. It's time we make great resolve about some things. Have a plan. Instill a deep love and trust in the Lord Jesus into our children's hearts and minds. I mean, we're driving down the highway and we go by a wreck. We pray. We pray. Lord Jesus, help those people. Do whatever you need here. You go in and eat in a restaurant. You're saying little prayers about the waitresses. Boy, we've had some dandy little conversations right over here at the park, whatever it is, diner right here. There's even some Christians work there. And we've had some good times there. Actually, over here at the Dunkin' Donuts, it was a little difficult last night. But anyway, what does Psalm 27 tell us? 127, yes. Our children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Does a mighty man know what to do with his arrow? Yeah, he knows how to hit the target or he's dead. Our children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Well, do they know what the target is we're aiming them at? Nope. How do I know? Because I've asked thousands. All my years at Summit Ministries, every year, I would say, okay, 8 sessions, 185 students every 2 weeks. Okay, how many of you can raise your hand and give me a biblical, spiritual target that your parents are aiming you at? I've had 6. 6, that's all. They couldn't give me even one scripture that their parents were aiming them at. One of ours was Colossians 1:10. So, let's... On the way home, why don't you ask those young people, can you name a biblical target that your dad and mom are aiming you at? You young people, on the way home. Dad, do you have a special target you're aiming me at? I'd like to know. If I don't, maybe you do. I'm not going to ask. All right, when we were older, when we had our daughters, and we wanted to avoid certain pitfalls, so we did some things. And one of the things was we tried to build Scripture into them with the idea of living it. We want to live it. We don't want to just learn it. We want to live it. So we would find Scriptures that we needed. But here's the goal. And thou shalt teach them diligently, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, and then 18, 19. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. What do you talk about when you sit around the house? Does God's word ever come up? And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, therefore shall ye lay up these words, my words, in your heart and in your soul, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way. By the way, in order to do that, you would probably have to hit the mute button, right? If you're going to talk about them when you're sitting in your house. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. One of our base, Tarrant, Mirren, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you have any just kind of foundational scriptures that you want your family to live out? We taught the girls if they did everything out of a love for the Lord with the motivation to please the Lord Jesus, they'd never have to worry about pleasing us. See, what happened was when they were little, we would say, now, little daughter, if you do this, it's going to please your daddy. It's going to please your mommy. Then one day, Jenny said, hey, you know what? They might not always be with us. Now, I'm glad They are with us still. All right. And I hope they always are. But anyway, they might not always be with us. And they're not with us, so they're not going to be pleasing us. We want them to learn to please the Lord Jesus. So we changed it. And we said, Taryn, Miren, if you do this or if you don't do that, you're going to please our Lord Jesus. Well, if they please Jesus, are they going to please me? Yep, sure are. So we changed the emphasis. And the girls said that was helpful. They told us this higher accountability moved their motivation for obedience above wanting to please Dad and Mom to the more weighty impact of obeying and loving our infinitely loving Heavenly Father and His inspired Word. They said it helped to lift the desire to obey above emotions of the moment directed in frustration at a person to the mindset of, if that's what the Bible says, then I want to do this to please my Lord. So that's the idea. Take the emphasis off the here and now. The focus should be up. Colossians 3, several verses. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Well, if it's well-pleasing to the Lord, is it going to be well-pleasing to the parents? Yep. Knowing that of the Lord, and whatsoever you do, do heartily, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Amen. So, we study God's Word. All of us can be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, to help our children understand who they were giving their love and obedience to, we spend a lot of time talking about the character, the nature of our loving Lord. We talk about those kind of things. We even talked about the different names of God, what they mean. How He cares for us, how He loves us, how He's provided for us, how He protects us. We studied God's character. Isaiah 45, for thus saith the Lord, who created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. Is that a God I can trust? He hath established it. He created it. Not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. By the way, look what it says. He formed it to be inhabited. Doesn't say He formed anywhere else to be inhabited. Planet Earth is the center of God's redemptive plan. It was created to be inhabited. The only place that anyone has ever found that can be inhabited. It's a special equipment. He created it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. He sure does. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So there is a judgment coming. God's character. Study it. Now, here's something we did too. We would make it a project to practice the fruit of the Spirit. And we would pick one for, let's say, a month. When they were little, we used to go about a month at a time. We'd pin it on the refrigerator. This month, we're going to let the Holy Spirit show us His power in our lives to exhibit joy. So we put joy on the refrigerator. Well, everything you can imagine that makes you unjoyful is going to happen that month. Okay? But what do we want to see? We want to see the supernatural power of God doing the impossible through us. And it is a testimony that He lives in us. And He exhibits the joy out through us in the midst of these impossible, joyless situations. So you pick a fruit of the Spirit. Say, okay, we're going to do this one. And let the Lord do His work out through you. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we taught our daughters, all these scriptures that have to do with God sees what we do. And there are no secrets before God. And it can't be too dark for God to see it. And so they knew that there are no secrets before an omnipotent, omnipresent God. By God's grace, the girls have told us that truth made a huge impact on their whole perspective of keeping secrets in life. Teach your children that all their deeds are before the Lord. Numbers 32:23b. That's one of the first ones we memorized. And be sure your sin will find you out. How about James 4:17? Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What do we know what to do if we don't do it? It's sin. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? I mean, do we as adults kind of think we can sneak around a little bit from time to time? Yeah. We're in a lot of little churches that the pastor is there all by himself, and pastors have confessed things to me that shouldn't be, but they are. But they thought they were getting away with it, but then they realized they weren't, but they didn't have anybody to talk to. And can any hide himself in secret place? No, no. Ecclesiastes 8:11, nip it in the bud. That's a long verse, but that's just what it means, basically. Okay? So, why are we nipping things in the bud? We had some missionaries stay at our house, and the dad was boasting that his children, his one son at least, was what he called a low-maintenance son. What did that mean? Well, that meant his son went off to the room and played with his computer. So they came to our house, and they stayed there, and they were in our guest house, and they kept begging me for the password to our computer, which we had out there, which I don't give to anybody. But they begged me, oh, yeah, we want to check our email. Okay, so I went out, gave them the password. Then they go on to their next place. I go out, turn the computer on, up flashes pornography. They weren't emailing anybody. They were looking at pornography. Missionaries' kids. But they're low maintenance. What does that mean? That means dad and mom can go do whatever they want to do and don't have to worry about the kids because they're taking care of themselves, you see. No, we've got to be actively involved with our children. What can we learn from all this? That's what we keep saying in our family. We still do. When we see these things going on, what can we learn from this? Oh, Lord Jesus, don't let this happen to us, please. Predecide on a plan of action to help your children love Jesus. Memorize Scripture. That's crucial. Got to instill a love and respect for the Lord. So we did several things. From the time that girls were 2 years old, we started memorizing chapters. When someone can speak, they can memorize chapters. And we would find chapters we needed. Boy, we need that. Okay, we'll memorize that. Makes it easier to memorize if you need it. And there's some of the ones we did early on. So Ephesians 6:10 through 18. That was a hard one. That's a spiritual warfare passage. And I mean, we just couldn't get it down. Then Romans 12. That's one of our family chapters, I would say. Desert Island type chapters. 1 Corinthians 13, we memorized that. I think Taryn and Mir were maybe 6 and 3 or 4. What were they? 5 and 3. And Jenny was driving somewhere, and we just memorized 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Taryn says to Jenny, you know, Mom, since we memorized that chapter, I really know better how to love my little sister. I'm 5-year-old. Can 5-year-olds figure some things out? Yeah, they sure can. And we've got to be careful, too. Psalm 119. We memorize a lot of that, not the whole thing. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Boy, that's important. How I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. What do you meditate on? Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Would that be good? For they are ever with me. Yeah, once we memorize them, they're with us. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Whoa, you want to know more than your teacher, more understanding than your teacher? Get God's word hidden in your heart. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Integrating truth into the fabric of life, making God real by doing it. We do the truth. We practice it. Psalm 119, 101 to 104, that's a continuation here. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. So your little feet start walking towards sin, and this thing pops up in your head. Ooh, God says, I've refrained my feet from every evil way. And so you're heading toward that computer that you're going to look at something you shouldn't look at. And ooh, those little feet, they're heading over there. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. But let's say you keep on going and you get over there and you turn it on. Oh, my feet have brought me over here. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. You turn it back off. Or let's say you don't turn it off. And then you go a step further. You say, oh, Lord Jesus, thanks for reminding me. Those feet got me over here. And now you're reminding me again. Forgive me. And you get away from it. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It surely is. Choose a family scriptural goal for the life of your family. Probably ours has been Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. So we're going to please Him in every way. Being fruitful in every good work. Yeah, we sure want that. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh boy, we want to do that. So there's four things right there in one verse. That's probably one of our chief family verses. Do you have some family verses? We want to try to live up to this one by God's grace. And so you pick some. Does anybody have a family verse that you're working on as a family and you've been, and it's one of your like family verses you'd like to share with us? Well, surely there's one. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yes, doctor.
It is 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I used that as with a group of older people in a retirement home. And you trace back from Genesis 1. What are we talking about? We're spiritually dead. We're born spiritually dead.
Amen.
But now God has made us alive again with the power of His Spirit and blood.
Amen.
What verse? Oh, sir.
And let him work that out through us to show the watching world. Why not formulate a family doctrinal statement? Sit down as a family. Say, this is what's really important to us. This is going to be our doctrinal statement. We started in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the way, I said heavens and the earth. That is a dual noun, heavens. In the Hebrew, it's a dual noun. Means there's two. I think he's talking about atmospheric heaven and stellar heaven, where the stars are. We didn't get into that when we talked about that earlier in the week. Choose a family scripture and individual scriptures for each person. Do you have any? I hope you do. Choose a desert island chapter, like Romans 12 is one of ours. Isaiah 40 is one of mine. Sing the doxology at mealtime. Sing a hymn or sing something at mealtime. We're still trying to do that. We just can't seem to get that done. I want to do that. When are we praying for our family? Do you have a time every day you're praying for your wife, husbands? Most men don't. How do I know? Because I've done men's retreats. They confess. I can pray for my kids. I pray for my church. I pray for my job. I can't seem to get around to praying for my wife. So I wasn't praying for mine either. And I didn't even think about it. And then one day here, we were married probably somewhere, maybe 10 years. Jenny comes up and says, Job, when you take your socks off at night, they end up in little sweaty balls. And I don't like to reach in those sweaty old socks and stretch them out. Is there any way that you, when you take your socks off at night, you could stretch them out? And I said, my mother never did that. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I must have been taking them off that way too. No, I didn't say that. So I'm thinking, okay, what can I do? So I decided when I take my socks off at night, I'm going to pray for my wife. Okay. So we're working on 49 now. We're working on 50 years. And so for at least 40 years, I've been praying. Well, then, about 3 or 4 years after that, I shared that at church, and we had a party at our church, and some folks from the church were over, and one of the men said, hey, Job, did you know you could pray for your wife twice a day? I said, no, what do you mean? Well, don't you put your socks on in the morning? So in the morning, when I put my socks on, I'm praying for my wife and my daughters. When I take them off at night, I'm praying for my wife and sometimes my daughters, too. And God thought I wasn't praying long enough, so He gave me a heart problem. And now I got these socks that come all the way up to your knees. And they're hard to get on because they're elastic. So, I'll pray a little more. Thank you. Do you have a time every day you're praying for someone in the family, a wife, for a husband, for a child, children? Are you praying for your dad, for your mom, for your brothers and sisters? Do you have a time you're doing that? Something you do every day. During that time, you don't have to think very much. Set, say, hey, from now on, when I do that, I'm going to pray for my mom or my husband or something. Always take your children back to God's Word. Nearly all young children respond to gentle, loving instruction. God made them that way, and so we have to give them that. We don't want to discipline in anger. We know that. Fathers, we are the living example of the Lord Jesus to our family. And we're either going to do a good job of it in His power, or we're going to do a miserable job of it. But we are going to do something. And all of us are. We need to value God's Word, but not worship God's Word. We worship God. Remember, keep Jesus as the hub, and put great value on the Bible. It's our blueprint for living. But it's not to be the object of our worship. We utilize our Sunday school drive to church, reviewing our scriptures, and we always recite the books of the Bible. So what do you do on the way to church on Sunday morning? Sometimes you aren't speaking to each other, are you? Somebody didn't want to go. And what are we doing? Why not? Why not? Do something that has to do with the scripture on the way to church. And then on the way home, talk about what the preacher talked about. Ask questions. You children, ask your dad questions. That'll make him really listen hard. So on the way home from church, you start asking questions, okay? And then if he doesn't have the answer, then he's going to turn back to you and say, what is the answer to that? And then you will have listened, and you will either have it or you won't, right? But you do it in love and gentleness. You don't do it like in a mocking tone of voice. Hey, Dad, what'd you get out of today? No, you don't do it like that, right? Right, okay. Honor God's Word first. Be discerning regarding time spent in devotional books, such as Jesus Calling. Ecclesiastes 12. Of the making of many books, there's no end. Much study is weariness in the flesh, of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What is the ending of the book of Ecclesiastes? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Well, if we're keeping His commandments, does that mean we love Him? Well, that's what he says. How many of His commandments do we know? How many have we hidden in our heart? Spend time in the Bible, individually, corporately. To help the girls learn to love and trust the Lord Jesus, we taught them to read the Bible every day, so that they could develop a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus through His Word. As a couple, we pre-decided that we would also read the Bible daily as a family. And we do. Oh my, did we this morning? We did? Oh yeah, it was. That's right, Isaiah 63. That's where we were this morning. Boy, George, what I learned about that. All of a sudden, I couldn't remember that. See, we men need help. See, help us, ladies. Through these times, we would ask the Lord to help us bring His Word alive through our explanations, insights, applications, even having the girls draw pictures when they were little tiny. We would just be reading the Bible and give them colored pencils and paper, and they'd be drawing pictures. A lot of times, it was exactly what the Bible's talking about. This is when they're little tiny. Spend individual time, corporate time in the Bible. We systematically read through the Bible, and we do, and we still do. We're in Isaiah chapter 63. Tomorrow it'll be Isaiah 64. And looking back, our daughters have told us the times instilled a deep respect for the Bible as the ultimate authority in all of life's situations. And many times, Daddy reads some more. And a lot of times I'd kind of read, and we were reading along, and I would say, well, we're going to have to see what happens tomorrow. Now, sometimes that's because I didn't know what was going to happen. I had to look it up. I wouldn't tell them that. We don't know everything, you know. Read biographies. Read biographies. How did God work in this man's life or that woman's life? And make it a fun family time to read biographies. And there's lots of good biographies out there. How God took care of people. And if He can take care of them, He can take care of us. Because the examples of Mueller and Taylor, they didn't tell people of their monetary needs. But God took care of them. So we as a family also decided that we weren't going to talk about financial needs. We'd just tell the Lord, We got a need, and it's always provided. It's always provided. I can give you one quick example. We started the Creation Proclaims series. And we had had a man call and say, hey, if you'll just do some more animal DVDs, I'll donate $250,000. Another one said, if you'll just do some more of these animal DVDs, I'll pay the bill. This is all within about 1 week. Another one called and said, hey, look. No, I saw him in person. He said, hey, look, I'm in for $35,000 if you'll just do another animal DVD. So I'm thinking, hey, I mean, we've got the money. Let's get started. So I called up the folks and we got going, signed a contract for, I think originally it was $150,000. We get up there. We start doing the filming. None of the money comes in. Well, we're not going to call and ask for money. So, oh, Lord Jesus, the people that said they were going to send the money in aren't sending the money in. Now we have bills coming in. What are we going to do? Between July of 2009 and March of 2010, that's how long it took to get the Climbers and Creepers? The first one of the Creation Proclaimed series, it cost $82,000 to produce that first video. So in March of 2010, I decided to check our accounts and see how much money came in over the general fund. The amount that comes in almost every month from one way or another, $82,000. And we hadn't asked the Lord, we asked the Lord, we hadn't just asked anybody else. Now, one of the people that said they'd give $250,000 had over the year sent $40,000 toward the video. By the time we were done with those first three, it was $228,000. Almost $230,000 came in by the time the last one was finished. So we must have not done something or maybe we didn't pay for something, because it was almost $2,000 more than we actually paid out. I mean, God can and will provide. If it's something that he wants to do, he'll take care of it. We don't have to worry about it. We go to churches head over heels in debt. They just couldn't wait for the Lord. It's too bad. Well, Psalm 62, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Psalm 37, trust in the Lord. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We delight in him. Seek ye first his righteousness. Delight in him, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way to him, to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. So trust him. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We don't have to finagle. We don't have to manipulate. We just talk to him about it. And then as families, we say, what might please our Lord? What kind of a project might we do as a family that would really please our Lord and help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus together so that we can just radiate that light and salt that he wants us to be? And then start praying. See what he does. Luke 18. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Well, Lord, that would be impossible. I don't think that's not possible. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We trust. We trust. We're dealing with a family right now. Don't file the divorce papers. Just don't do it. She did it. So we're praying. We're praying. Lord, slow it down. Have something happen here that's going to change things around. Anyway, great is our Lord's faithfulness. Lamentations 3:23. Because we've been committed to no debt of any kind in our ministry or as family, we've been privileged to see the Lord provide miraculously beyond what we could have ever imagined. That helped the girls know God is real. So, when Miriam was 3, we had a Toyota Corolla station wagon, which was very small. The Corollas are bigger now, but that one was very small. So in order to get everything in with my overhead projector in those days, both girls, luggage, everything else, I had a car top carrier. But about three times I forgot I had the car top carrier on and put it in the garage. Which meant I replaced the garage door a few times. So a little three-year-old decided, Daddy is so dumb. He doesn't know that. I'll just start praying God will give him a van. Maybe then he won't put a car top carrier on there. I don't know if she thought it was dumb. But anyway, so she starts praying. And she's praying, God give Daddy a blue van. Well, about a year, year and a half later, we get a phone call. Well, that week, we had gotten a donation to the ministry of $10,000. Some people had an inheritance, and they sent us $10,000. Praise God. We had something we did with $1,300. So we had $8,700. Boom. That very week, we get a phone call from one of my old dental students. We've got this van, and we've been trying to sell it. It was appraised at $16,000. We're down to $8,700. We're wondering if you might tell some of your friends and maybe help us sell it. Jenny got the phone call. Well, maybe you sold it. What color is it? It's blue. It's sold. So we didn't tell him. We just drove down there to pick it up. And we drive up. He had it parked in front of the house. We drive up in front of the house, and this little four and a half year old, Daddy, it's blue. So we have that in our Stones in the Jordan cabinet. Do you have a Stones in the Jordan cabinet? We'll show you one in just a minute. So all kinds of van stories. We had vans that we ordered. We've had 15 F-150s. Every other year, we wear one out. And so we've had 15 of them. Our friend Sam, the Ford guy, he orders them for us. And, well, if you don't have the money, I'll sell it to somebody else when it comes in. And so we had one of these vans. And the day it was supposed to be there, I called him up. I said, hey, we don't have the money. He said, well, we don't have the van. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I'm going to have to find out. So we called back a day later. Well, they shipped it to Florida instead of Dallas. So it's going to take a while to get it up here. I said, that's fine. So on the morning that he calls up, the van's here. We open the mail. It was a check for, was it $3,500 we needed? Two checks. Total out $3,500. That's all we needed to finish. We had it. All kinds of things. I'll tell you one more. We were, that's our Stones in the Jordan cabinet at home to remind us of some of these things. There's a blue van down in there somewhere. Maybe it's on this next one. Yeah, there's the blue van down there in the bottom. And by the way, you'll notice on the third shelf down, there's like a certificate. Jendi and I were in Moldova, and the communists are trying to take over in the capital city, and that's where we are. So the missionary said, I'm going to have to get you out of the airport of Moldova in a way that you can get out, because they're sealing the airport. Well, the mafia keeps flying, whether it's sealed or not. So he somehow went down there and must have bribed somebody or something. But he got us this certificate that if we went in the back door of the airport, the mafia would fly us out. So I didn't think much about it. But anyway, a cat had bitten Jenny on the ankle. And we had about a mile walk to the seminary where I was teaching. And she had boots on. It's in the winter. It's like 20 below zero. We'd walk down there. Well, that morning, her boot is rubbing on the cat bite. So she takes our certificate, folds it up into a little thing that looked just about like this right here, and put it in her boot so that it would act as insulation between the boot and the cat bite. Well, somewhere between there and the seminary, it worked its way out of her boot. Well, she didn't want to tell me. So about 2 o'clock that night, she hadn't been sleeping. So she, I think I better tell you, I lost our way out of the airport.
You what?
No, I didn't do that. I might have felt that way, but I didn't do that. We got to have self-control. That's another fruit of the Spirit, right? Temperance, all right? So anyway, we started praying. Well, Lord, if we need that to get out of here, well, then we're going to trust you to find it for us. So we're walking down to the seminary. About halfway down, we see this piece of paper over here in the leaves. And Jendi said, that looks like maybe that's one of those certificates. So we go over there. It was all opened up, and it was our very certificate. We have it framed in our Stones in the Jordan cabinet on the third shelf down. So if you ever come to our house, you can see it. And we got out of the airport. And the mafia were flying their kids out. And they served them a hot meal. They put us in the back of the plane and gave us crackers. So anyway, we were just glad to get out. Joshua. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Those are the stones they put in the Jordan. God parted the Jordan. They walked across on dry land. Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. We have a mighty Lord. Let's not belittle it. Let's get serious about all this. Psalm 78. We will not hide them from their children. We need to. That's the stones in the Jordan. We're not hiding these great things our Lord has done. We want a reminder of them. You remember that? Remember that? Look what the Lord did. Look what the Lord did. Look what the Lord did. He is faithful. We can't take anyone further than we are. We need to trust God. Do ministry as a family. You know what? I just happened to realize that clock isn't moving, is it? It isn't. And I keep looking and I get, it's only 7:45. Now I have, it's now 8 o'clock. Is that true? Okay, good. Well, I've been kind of going till about 7:45. Is that okay? I don't care whether you like it or not. We're going to 7:45. Okay. Is that a loving spirit? No, I would quit if you said, no, we better quit. Can I go, Pastor? Okay, thank you. Part of the plan for discipling your children in Deuteronomy 6 entails teaching them the Word of God diligently as you sit, as you talk, as you walk, as you lie down, when you stand up. Do you thank Him for things as you're going along? Do you thank Him for the sunsets? As if you're driving along and as a family, oh, a beautiful sunset. Do you thank the Lord? Do you thank Him for the fall colors that are coming up as you're going to be driving along? The green grass. We love that in Texas. 2 Corinthians 6:3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So we don't want to in any way discredit the ministry. And we can do that. Matthew 20. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. We're to be like Jesus. We're to give our life to others. Dads, we give our life first to our Lord, next to our family. Acts 20. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. By the way, I didn't say much about ministering as a family. When I was up there at Summit Ministries all those years, the strongest young people that came through there, the most committed. The average age is probably 17 and a half, right around in there, 18. Were the ones who ministered as families. Their families ministered together. Took them out and ministered together. They were the strongest ones. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Our job is not to seek our personal peace and affluence. Our job is to be Christ's servants. Really, doulos, we're His slaves. Would you come right down to it? But we couldn't have a better slave master, could we? Luke 2:42, not my will, but thine be done, said Jesus as He faced the cross. When's the last time you prayed that? Lord Jesus, in this particular situation I'm in, not my will, but thy will be done. Family ministry ideas, serving one another in love. Galatians 5:13, by love serve one another. So we love our Lord, and then that love comes out, and that love helps us serve each other. Practice having a servant's heart. Minister to widows, terminal ill, new mothers, handicapped friends. There's all kinds of ministry out there that we can do as families that's not getting done. Jennity's mom lived right across the street from the church. You walk out the front door and right across the street and into the church. Anybody ever come over and say, Mrs. Poole, we the youth group, let's say, they had a youth group. We've come over, we're going to clean your house for you. We're going to go to the grocery store and pick up some things for you. Never happened. I don't think it ever happened, did it? No, it never happened. Right across the street was the church. They've been in 50 years in the same church or more than that. We have another friend who's decided he's starting to set up gospel booths at fairs and flea markets. We have a couple of friends now doing that. There's a local fair of some kind. They rent a booth and they pass out tracts. Pray for car wrecks when you pass by. Pray without ceasing. John 7:6, seize the moment. That's what it says, basically. Seize the moment. We can incorporate a biblical principle, standard, doctrinal point consistently. But are we getting to know intimately the heart of our Savior? That's the whole idea. Paul loved those people, those Corinthians. They were a mess. And he loved them because our Lord loves them. Further points. Teach your children the vital importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus. That's where it starts, loving Him. We should be teaching our children the vital importance of loving others. For in loving others, family, friends, enemies, we become more focused on the main focus of Jesus' life, which is people. It's not video games. If we want to know His heart and be close to His ways, we need to love who He loves and desire what He desires. Psalm 37:4. Just skip me. What's Psalm 37:4? Oh yeah, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you. Teach your children to love ministry. Love the Word. Love ministry. Did you know ministry is fun? And it's challenging. And you never know what's going to happen next. Be intentional. Jennifer used to have this little grace box, especially when the girls were younger. And she'd be praying. The orange juice just spilled all over everywhere. Oh, Lord Jesus, give me grace. Help me not to lose it. I got to clean this orange juice up. It's sticky. It's a mess. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Cleans it up. God answered my prayer. I didn't lose it. Puts it in the grace box. Then every now and then you open the box, pull something out to encourage yourself. Look what he did back here. We actually spilled the orange juice and didn't get upset. I broke all the china in my china closet. Didn't get upset. That happened to Jenity. She's trying to pull something out from the back. Everything in the front. There it went. So, we also might have what's called the blessings box. We have one of these things at home. And the Lord does a special blessing. Well, jot it down. Stick it in the box. A little special blessing. Gauge your heart. It's not about getting accolades for parenting. We're not trying to win the praise and the approval of men. John 5:44, 12:43. But it's about having children that express the heart of our dear Lord Jesus. 3 John 4, no greater joy. Male leadership, it's an assignment from the Lord. It's not an achievement. Right, men? It's an assignment. It's not an achievement. It's an assignment. Decide who you are raising your children for. Is it for you or is it for the Lord? That's the question. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last, said C.T. Studd. Luke 10, and he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So fathers, have we loved the Lord Jesus today? Could our family tell that we did? Was there anything about us that our family was saying, you know what, my dad is really loving the Lord Jesus. I can see it. We have to start thinking like this because we're losing it. Teaching our children to love Jesus begins with mirroring that love for them. We can train values and standards into life habits in our children and end up with good character. Even the unsaved can have good character. If a biblical standard or a principle is not backed by deep love for the Lord Jesus and for His people, which is everybody, the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor. We stand in danger of becoming self-righteous and hypocritical. That can trigger rebellion in our children. Their hearts will be changed. That book already gone. What did it say? We're losing up to 89% of evangelical young people. We're losing 40% before they ever get out of middle school. Dad and moms, they're still in church. Their hearts are way away somewhere. And usually it's because of what they see going on at home. We're not loving the Lord Jesus as parents. And they see that. We got to keep Jesus as the hub. If we as parents keep the Lord Jesus central, along with a desire to please him, by the way, there's exceptions to all this. Don't sit there and just beat yourself up. There are exceptions. We know families, they, as far as we can tell, they've done everything right. And one of those kids, some influence gets a hold of them, just like it can us. We can be walking with... How long did it take the fall to happen in Genesis? I think it was probably first week. I mean, God has two perfect people. What's the command? Multiply, fill the earth. Is Eve going to get pregnant pretty quick? Well, I would think so. They're both perfect. Well, that means she couldn't get pregnant before the fall, or there'd be a race of people on earth that don't have the Adamic sin nature. I think it all happened boom, 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 like that. And it can happen to us. We can be walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, and bang, we're into sin, just like that. But then the Lord warns us. We have a Holy Spirit, our sin alarm system. Teaching our children to love Jesus will equip them to deal with conflict among family and friends. If we want to teach our children to love Jesus, we will teach them by his example. We verbally tell them, we model it for them, that's the hard part, and point them to the scriptures to study his life. John 8:29b, I always do the things that pleases him. So, what do we do? Evidence. Teach your children to model a servant's heart. Push grocery carts back into the store. Don't throw gum or trash on the ground in public. Hang up clothing that's fallen off the hangers at Walmart. And then while you're doing it, slip a track into the pocket of whatever it was. Yeah, that's fun. Show deference in the shopping line. Somebody's there with only one thing and you got 29 baskets full, just wave them on ahead. And then as they go, say, here, I got a little present for you. Give them a tract. Teach your children to have good manners. Help older folks load their cars. Keep wiki sticks handy to entertain cranky children. That's mirrored. Offer free services to older neighbors or free music lessons to friends with minimal resources. Do special music at nursing homes and hospitals. Taryn and Miriam are doing some special music down here in Christ. Where? Well, it was down near Quarryville. And so they were doing this special music. And the lady in charge came in and turned off the TV. There were all these old folks sitting in there watching the TV. She comes in, turns off the TV, and says, we got a real treat. We're going to have some special music here. Miriam and Taryn start to play, and this lady yells, turn the TV back on. So you don't always get the response you'd think. Anyway, write missionaries. Write your pastor a note of encouragement. When is the last time you wrote your pastors a note of encouragement? Hey, Pastor Key, hey, Pastor Red K, but I want you to know. I mean, encourage. We all need it. When a tense situation arises with your children's friends or in the family, if they've been taught to love Jesus above all, they'll treat others in the love of the Lord, knowing his heart for relating to people. Jesus asked a lot of questions. We don't have time to get into that, but ask questions. Oh, look what... What is that? Oh, there. Frederick Douglass. It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. That's wise. But we got to nip it in the bud. Developing closer family communication helps your children understand how to love Jesus better. You got to talk about things. It takes time. But we don't have time. Yes, you do. We've been learning that. I don't have time. Yes, I do. Okay, what's more important? Family communication. Seek to know each other's hearts. Be concerned about that other person's needs. Forget about your own expectations. Just put them aside. Be willing to enter into biblical trenches of effective communication. Humility, you got to be vulnerable. Confession, willingness to be entreated. Be teachable. Die to yourself. Put on the Lord Jesus. Don't return evil for evil. Give a blessing. That's 1 Peter 3:9. What's he say? We don't give railing for railing. We don't give insult for insult. Evil for evil. Give a blessing. So your spouse comes to you and says, boy, do your feet stink. and you say to him, "We ought to smell yours." No, that's not what it's saying here. It says you give a blessing for an insult. So, boy, your feet stink. Oh, honey. Oh, you know what? I love you so much. And I guess there's some things I could do about that I haven't been doing. I'll get some of that powder. And, try to turn it into a blessing somehow. Doesn't come naturally, but when the Spirit's in us, we can do it by His grace. Get ready to think outside your normal box is what we're talking about. Moms, communicating with husbands and children. Focus on being gracious, gentleness, peacefulness, tenderness, kindness. It helps moms and wives receive more honor from their husbands and their children. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Proverbs 31. The gracious woman retains honor. Proverbs 11:16. Moms, just by God's grace, be that way. And then if you aren't that way, and the Lord brings it to mind, like, oh, I'm not being that way, family, would you forgive me? I have not been gracious here. Just forgive me. The gentle, quiet spirit of 1 Peter 3 brings tenderness into your relationship, healing to your family. You're being the role model for your daughters to copy and your sons to learn what a Proverbs 31 woman is, so they'll be able to spot her when they're ready to get married. Dads, the New Testament tells fathers, don't provoke your children to anger or to wrath. This means that apparently we fathers struggle with understanding our children, and it causes our children frustration. We got to look for ways to understand our children so that we can lovingly communicate with them. Try asking questions, not just commanding obedience. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Colossians 3:21. Same thing. Parents, communicating with millennials and 21st century adolescents. Seek to know their heart. Listen to them. Don't just hear them. Clarify the things your teens say to you. Affirm more than you may think is necessary. Seek to know their heart. Ask questions. Final thoughts. Teach them to have discernment. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's among other things. Six things doth the Lord hate. Proverbs 6. Seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. What are you doing with your imagination? You can be sitting right here having wicked imaginations. God says, I hate that. That's an abomination. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet to be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. He that soweth discord among the brethren. How do we handle 21st century technology if we're making Jesus the hub? Well, we have a whole booklet our daughters wrote on that one out there. In conclusion, the reading of many books is futile. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. We need to seize the moment. Love our children. Love our neighbors. Love our Lord. Mark 12:30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. All right, dads, moms, grandparents, aunts, uncles, a little word of encouragement. That might not be the right word. Question. Are we making the God of the Bible real to our children and grandchildren as they observe and evaluate my attitude and responses and reactions and interests? What do they observe? What do they evaluate? What do they see? What do they hear? Are we giving our children and grandchildren and our nieces and nephews an excuse to depart the faith? Somehow they're thinking there's excuses there and they're departing the faith. One more. Are we distracted? We, dads, moms, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, are we distracted by the world, the flesh, the devil, even around our children, our nieces, nephews, grandchildren, brothers and sisters, in front of our children and grandchildren? Are we displaying the love of Satan's world system and the things of it? Or do we display a deep love for our dear Lord Jesus and His Word, the Bible, and the things of it? 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is so true. So how are we doing? Let's get out of the box, our normal family box, and let's start thinking, how can I make the Lord Jesus real? How can I love Him with my whole heart and love my family and let Him love out through me? In Jesus' name and for His sake, Pastor.